I want to try to ask you to notice with me a comparison of two cities. We've already spoken today of the fact that as we come into the Lord's church, we're coming into the city of Zion. People today want to make Zion as a city that's over in the land of Israel. I'll tell you that the Lord drew our attention as it being to His city, and that's the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the church of the living God. But I want to ask you to think with me today as we talk about that city. I want you to think with me about a tale of two cities. Now I realize that there was a rather prominent piece of literature that was written a number of years ago with that title. But I want to ask you today to look at a tale of two cities that is described for us in the Scripture. I want to use two different texts. As we look at these two cities, I would ask you the question, which one are you looking for? Okay? First of all, turn with me to Genesis chapter 11. I want to read verses 1 through 4. Genesis chapter 11, and we'll read verses 1 through 4. Now, I realize that this is part of a much larger passage of Scripture, but for the sake of our time and our reading this morning, we'll stop with the fourth verse. The whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, "Go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, "Go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." Notice, if you would, the expression that's built in the middle of that fourth verse that says, "Let us make us a city." Now, if you'll turn with me over into the book of Hebrews, I want you to read with me again in the 11th chapter of Hebrews. I want us to read verses 8, 9, and 10. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 through 10. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeying, he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles, that is, in tents, with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Now you'll notice it was said of Abraham that he looked for a city. We're going to compare these two passages of Scripture this morning. And as we do so, I trust that you might be challenged in your mind to ask yourself the question, just what am I looking for? Father, help us as we read your word today. Help us to understand it. Help us to be convinced, to be convicted by it. Help us, O Father, to understand that by faith we would seek that which you are the builder of, which you are the designer of, which you have laid the foundation for. Father, help us in Jesus' name, I pray, and amen. Now, as we've read these two passages of Scripture, there's a tale or a story of two different cities. Now, granted, by the way, you read in Genesis and then in Hebrews, it would seem like they were generations apart. But keep in mind, we're only from the distance between Noah and the flood to Abraham. We're not talking about thousands and thousands of generations in between. But I want you to notice, first of all, the idea of the city that is spoken of in each of these two passages. You'll notice with me in Genesis chapter 11, in verse 4, I want you to notice the idea of the city that is spoken of in the word that's translated from the Hebrew word ayar. Now, we think of a city as being a big place. We think of a town as being a smaller place, and a village as being a little smaller than that, and then the country being where there's no town at all. But I want you to notice the idea that's incorporated in this word that is translated as city. It's translated from a word that is a place guarded by someone who is awake and watching. It has nothing to do with the emphasis upon the size, but it is speaking of the matter of the security of the place, that it is a city that has a watchman. It is a place that has a guard. It is a place that has someone who is always watching. Security. Now, this particular city is having to do with the descendants of Noah. You remember that Noah was given the instruction to build the ark. And he had three sons who seemed to have helped him in the labor. But when time came to board the ark, it was Noah and his wife and his three sons and his three daughters-in-law. There were eight people on that ark. When they came off the ark, we're not told how long a period of time it was between the time that they disembarked and began to replenish the earth as God had given them instruction to do, and that we came to in chapter 11. But it gives every indication that there were more than just the eight people who were here now. They had begun to spread. That's what God had told them to do, that they were to go out and to replenish not just one area, but to replenish the earth. And so as they were moving, they were going from where they got off at Mount Ararat and moving through other wider areas. And they didn't exactly know where they were going to wind up. As they moved about, some of them would stay in this place and some in this place. And they began to have some uncertainty. And they said, now let us make us a city that we can all stay together. Let us make us a city that we can have as our secure place. You see, the security, the idea of comfort in uncertainty, was at the base of the idea of building the city. Now I want you to go with me, if you would, back over into Hebrews. And I want you to notice with me the Greek word that's translated as city in this place. In Hebrews 11:4, it translates from the Greek word polis, word from which we get the idea of politic. You ever heard of the expression, the body politic, the body of the people? They wanted to build a city, but this word carries with it a place that is, whether it's a greater size or a lesser size, it is in a walled environment. A walled city. You think about it for a moment. The idea of that walled city, the idea of the city of Jericho, when Joshua went in, there was that great city, and the question was raised, well, how can we get that thing? There was the idea that it was pretty secure. Didn't turn out that way, but that's what they had planned by the walls. Jerusalem had a wall built around it. You remember later on after the captivity in Babylon when they came back, Nehemiah came back, and in order to stop the adversaries from running to and fro through the city and taking advantage of the people of Israel who had returned, Nehemiah came back to rebuild the wall and to put up the gates. You see, the idea was not the size of the city which Abraham was looking for. It was the security of the city. Folks, I want you to understand today that what I want you to consider is, what is the security, really, of our lives? What is the great security of the hope that we have? Now, notice both of these groups of people, Noah's descendants and Abraham, Noah's early descendants that were moving, and Abraham, shared two things. First of all, they both shared God's direction to them. God gave those that came off the ark with Noah, God gave them the specific direction that they were to go out and to replenish the earth. They were to move throughout the earth. God gave Abraham, or Abram at the time, God gave him the call that said, you leave where you were, you leave Ur, you leave your roots there, and you go to a place that I will show you. God later gave him the promise that his family would inherit that land. But he didn't know where it was. So both of them were moving into a realm of uncertainty in their life. Let me ask you a question today, folks. You got any of that in your life? You look about at the world in which you live today. You have any uncertainty in your thinking? You have any uncertainty about what God's direction for you is? About where your life is supposed to be spent in service to Him? About what your future is supposed to be? Well, both of these sets of people, years apart, but both of them had been given specific direction. And yet in that direction, there was a degree of uncertainty because they didn't know where they were going to wind up. Now, seeing those two things that we have in common in our lives today, God gives us His direction. God gives us His calling. God gives us His Holy Spirit. And yet, we very often are like these folks and like Abram, that we can't see all that far in the future. You know, I got up this morning and I was looking forward to an 11 o'clock worship service and a 12 o'clock dinner, but I really couldn't see much further than that today. We make our plans. Have we any guarantee that those plans are going to come to fulfillment? My wife and I were talking when she faced her surgery. It was a common surgery. But even in that, there's nobody that could give a guarantee. They write you a guarantee when you buy something, but that doesn't guarantee that it's going to keep working. Abram didn't know where he was going. He had a promise. God said, I'm going to give it to you. But he didn't know where he was. Didn't know how long it was going to take him. Didn't know what he was going to go through to get there. Noah's descendants had a command. They were to go and to replenish. But they didn't know how long that was going to take. They didn't know where they were going to wind up. I want you to notice with me, as you may have those feelings in your life of uncertainty and maybe a little doubt and maybe some wishful thinking that goes on in your mind about your life, I want you to notice with me the difference in approach that these two took. Abram and the descendants of Noah. First of all, in Genesis chapter 11, verse 4, we find that these who were journeying from one place to another, they were going across this big open plain, a plain in the land of Shinar. And they said, hey, wait a minute, let's build us a city here. We've got all this dirt that we can make brick. And this slime, oh, that's an interesting term, isn't it? This slime that we can use to stick them together, we can burn them or temper them, harden them. We can take these ingredients and we can build us a city by which we can reach into the heavens. We'll build a tower, the top of which that will reach to heaven. Let's build it for our name. You see, folks, the two things that are involved here, they wanted their name and they wanted to reach God by what they were doing. Now, what they set out to do, no matter how admirable one might look at it and say, well, that security of building that city and wanting to be close to God, those are good ideas. Well, no matter how admirable we might say that they were disobeying what God had told them to do. First of all, they decided they were all going to stop together. Secondly, they decided that they were dependent upon their works. And thirdly, they were more interested in their reputation than the honor of God. Now, folks, are those things that we depend on? Do we find ourselves saying to God, well, look, I'm building my life, I'm building my tower, I'm gonna get to you based on what I'm doing? Most of us wouldn't be so brazen as to actually come out and say that. But the fact of the matter is, the way we approach things sometimes, based on what we can see and based on what we can do and based on what we can accomplish, we work as if our whole relationship with God is built on the worthiness of what we do. Look at what Paul said in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verses 7 and 8. Here's the carnal mind, because the carnal mind is enmity, opposition. Our natural mind. Talking about building a tower that's going to reach to God. You're talking about building a life that God's going to be pleased with, God's going to be satisfied with. Our carnal mind, by our nature, is enmity against God. What does that word enmity mean? You look at it, it reminds you of the word enemy, doesn't it? Well, the fact of the matter is, it means the opponent. It is the opposition of God. It's not working in the same direction God commands. It works against God. That's exactly what they were doing. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. After it fell in sin, it cannot be by the nature of man himself. It cannot be. Listen to that language. It's not just that it's not. It cannot be subject or submissive to the law of God. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. When we decide that the city we're trying to build is built upon our labors and upon our name and upon our accomplishments, then we're building a city which cannot please God. Now think about that. What city are you looking for? There's a lot of things I could say, but let me ask you to go back with me over to this city that we're told about Abraham in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, we find by faith Abraham, okay? Then look at verse 10. He looked for a city, a place that had walls, a place that had security. He looked for a city which hath foundations. Now he lived in tents, right up in those other verses. He left going where God had told him to go, but he lived in transition. He lived in tabernacles. He lived in tents. But what was he looking for? He was looking for a walled city of permanence. He was looking for a place that had foundations. But I want you to notice something. He wasn't looking for a city that he had to build. He was looking for a city. He was looking for security. He was looking for certainty, whose builder and maker is God. Now think about that. His builder and maker that hath foundations. Now, he was called to go out and he went by faith. The first descendants of Noah there in Genesis chapter 11 looked at brick of mud that they could make brick, confident they could build a fire to burn them, and they could get up enough slime to stick them together. They went by what they could see. Abraham left what he could see in Ur of the Chaldees. He left his father's, he left his family culture, he left his background, and went to a place knowing not where he was going. And yet he went by faith. You see, folks, our hope of security in life. What happened to their works? God tore it all down. It became legendary. It became known as Babel. Their languages were changed. Their work halted. It was left as not as a testimony to their greatness, but as a testimony to their failure. What did Abraham do? Abraham went by faith. For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. They wanted to build a name of themselves. Abraham went not of himself, but of the work of God, the builder and maker. You see, folks, we have a city. We have a great city. In the book of Isaiah, we're told... Well, let me just turn there just a minute. Turn over into Isaiah chapter 26. In that day shall this song be sung, beginning at verse 1. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. What was it they were seeking? They were seeking security. They were seeking peace. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed, stationary, anchored, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Then the admonition, trust ye in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. A walled city, We have a strong city. They wanted a place where someone was going to watch over them. Who is our caretaker? Who is our watchkeeper? It is the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, folks, our hope of security in life, not just in eternity, but in our life today, is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And our life of faith in obedience to Him. What are you looking for? Paul said, the foundation of God standeth sure. The city had a foundation. It had a substructure. It had something sunk beneath the ground. It wasn't built upon sand. It wasn't built upon shiftiness. It was built upon something that was sunk. I'll tell you, it was built upon the grace of God that was sunk from before the foundation of the world. Before the world was ever built on top of it, God's plan of grace was in place in Jesus Christ. And God's foundation stands sure, having this seal: the Lord knoweth them that are His. Abram was in Ur, and God said, you come over here. I got a place for you. Took him a while to get there. Took him a while of obedience to settle there. But when he got there, he had a place that was far greater than anything that he could imagine. He had a security because God cared for him. Folks, do you understand that our security today in our lives, though we may not be able to see where we're going, though we may not be able to see exactly what's going to happen, our city of certainty, our city that's walled by the grace of God, our city that's built upon His choice. He's the builder. He's the maker. Our city of security is built upon the chief cornerstone, Jesus Christ. Which one are we looking for? What we can do by our works? What we can do by our plans? What we can do based on what we can see? Or a certainty by faith that's built upon what God is doing? God who cannot lie, God who cannot fail, and God who has said of all, or Jesus who said, of all the Father hath given me, I will lose nothing. Now folks, I don't know where this world's going. I don't know what's going to happen. I hear people make claims, oh, this is going to happen, this. I tell you what's going to happen. It's going to come to an end. I don't know exactly the day-by-day process in which that's going to happen. Neither does anybody else. I don't know when it's going to happen. Neither does anybody else. Of that day and hour knoweth no man but the Father in heaven. But I'll tell you what I do know. Jesus said He was going to come back. That's sure. Jesus said He was going to take everyone that the Father had given Him and take them home to be with Him. He's our watch caretaker. He is our wall. He is our security. Folks, I want to exhort you today that while the world around us gives us lure of things that we might say, well, I can do this, and I can... What is it God wants us to do? Where is it that God's taking us? Because He's already prepared a plan that's better than anything that you and I can come up with. Which city do we look for? What we see and what we can do? And what's about us? For the city whose builder and maker is God, that we approach, that we enter, and that we rejoice in by faith. May the Lord help us to be like Abram. When God calls us, obey. Leave what we can't see, or what we can see for what we can't see. Leave where we were for where we don't know where we're going, if that's necessary. But to go knowing that God's already got the plan in place. The city's already built. The security is already there. And I trust His eyes watching over me. Old gospel song. There's an all-seeing eye watching you. There's a watching you watching you every day, mind the course you pursue. And Father, may we know that your eye is upon us, and may we seek your city and rest on your foundation. The Lord bless and keep is my prayer.